right. Oh, it's cold. This isn't Maryland anymore. This is Manitoba. That's what it feels like, eh?
Yeah, holy crap. It's been a little chilly the past few days.
Yeah.
Just a smidge.
What if it's like this for the Winter Classic, man?
I will be warm in my house. Tell you that much. Do you have tickets?
I can't get them. They're not putting them on sale to, like, normal people. You got to be, like, yeah. a Richie Rich season ticket holder. Like,
buying a plan or some bull crap like that.
Yeah.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, CapsHill.com, and TuneIn Radio. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Make sure you follow Coach Dan and I on Twitter. I'm at Brando Cash Coach Dan. He's at WTP Coach Dan. So, Coach, let's talk about these last couple games since we talked last week. There were three games, a New Jersey Devils game, a St. Louis Blues, and a Coyote game. Two of them on the road, one of them in D.C., one of them really fun to watch, one really depressing to watch, and one that would put you to sleep. This team, I guess...
Wait, which one was fun to watch?
The one against the Coyotes was pretty fun to watch. That was a good game.
They had two shots in the second period. That was pathetic. So, like, the Phoenix... Oh, no, they're not Phoenix. I wrote Phoenix on my notes. They're Arizona. Oh, no. God, you change your name. It's throwing me off. Freaking Coyotes. Parts of that game were fun to watch. I mean, between the New Jersey game, I remember I was sitting there watching the New Jersey game with my girlfriend, and she's just like, this is really boring. Like, it was nothing that happened. And then the game against New Jersey, New Jersey played exactly the style that they wanted to play, and the Caps fell right into that trap. It was slow, boring hockey. The Capitals were sustaining no pressure against Corey Schneider, and then they got schooled by St. Louis, and then the Arizona game, it was, parts of it were pretty fun. I thought they dominated pretty well in the first period. They completely disappeared in the second, and then they were able to come out and play pretty well in the third and did enough in overtime to get the win. But it's, the past week they went 1-2, which is still not good enough.
Definitely not good enough. The Devils game was definitely a snore fest. Nothing fun to watch there. And the only goal that the Devils have is an assist from Holtby. We've been kind of quiet on the goalie situation in D.C. with the Capitals because Holtby and Peters, for the most part, they've been delivering, at least, on a somewhat good level. But this weekend, both of those guys just had terrible games. It seems as if you remember a couple years ago, certain players were taking shots from the center ice, and Vokoun, Neuwirth, and Holtby all let goals go by because they lost track of the puck. It seems like Holtby and Peters are doing the same thing now. What happened here? Was this just bad play calls, or was this a lack of focus? What happened with these two guys this weekend?
I mean, I think some of it's a lack of focus. Some of it maybe trying to do too much instead of just stopping the play or making a safer play. Holtby, you kind of know what he was intending to do, but he butchered it. And that's sort of part of the, not the problem, but sort of the risk you take with goaltenders who want to play the puck more using their stick, and that, they may screw up. I mean, you have the same thing happen with guys that are, normally using their stick in terms, just the forwards and the defensemen. The problem is if they make a mistake, it's not as dangerous because you're not leaving the goal wide open. With goaltenders, if you make that kind of mistake, like Holtby made, it was a nice pass that Holtby made to the guy,
to the Devils player.
I'm totally blanking on which Devils player it was. I know. Oh, shoot. Anyways, I mean, he made a really nice pass. Let's give him some credit. It was a really well done pass. The problem is that the other guy played for the freaking other team. But aside from that minor detail, it was a very nice pass. Peters, he's just whoops. I mean, I don't think really that much of a difference.
Saint whoops.
What are you gonna say? Well, probably some other four-letter words. But aside from that, it's just. I mean, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference in that game against the Blues because the Caps were getting schooled either way.
with a team like the Blues, who obviously are a very good team in this league, for them to just wipe the floor with the Capitals, that can't be a good sign to the players, Barry Trotz, or the fans, because they got outplayed, they got outschooled. I mean, every aspect of their game was dominated by the Blues.
Yes. I mean, there was like, it was everything. The Caps just looked like they had gone out there and they were almost scrimmaging. They were like the minor league team scrimmaging the major team, where it was the junior varsity versus the varsity team. St. Louis knew exactly what they wanted to do. And I think it's sort of a position where the Caps want to be in eventually, where, you know, the Blues have had this system where they've been playing with playing under Hitchcock for a while now. And the Caps, are, you know, they're still pretty new under Trotz. And I think at some point then we may see that in the comfort, not necessarily the same style, but that comfort that they the Blues are playing under, knowing that system inside and out. And the Caps apparently are just not quite there yet.
I mean, for it to be the we talked about how, oh, it's still early with the Trotz system. But, I mean, we are what a week, maybe 2 weeks away from 2 months into this season, and they're still having problems with this Barry Trotz system. Is that still an excuse we can use, or the players can use at this point?
Well, I think it's an excuse Brooks Light can use, probably, because he can't stay. Sorry, that was a cheap shot. I think to some extent there is still the possibility that they're not so much learning, but getting it ingrained in their system, and so it becomes second nature. And just muscle memory at this point in terms of where they're going, and I think having new line mates and new defensive pairings and things like that. But I don't think it's quite the excuse it used to be anymore. I think at this point they should know the system well enough that they shouldn't be having these major mistakes in tournament coverage. But we're not seeing that quite as much anymore. I mean, what I meant to say before was that it's sort of it is second nature now, and that the Blue system is and the Hitchcock system that he's got going is that these guys are firing on all cylinders. It's not that the Caps aren't. I mean, I still think they're trying to figure out their lineup to some extent. The Caps are in terms of the players that they have. I think the defensive pairings have settled in pretty well. And if you look at them, I mean, the St. Louis, you're not going to win every game. So if the St. Louis game was just like one bad game they have, where they get dominated in like a couple of weeks, it's not that big a deal. At that point, it's just a blip on the radar, whereas opposed to if it's happening consistently. I think the New Jersey game, you know, they got played by the other team's system, and they didn't have enough effort to some extent in terms of creating traffic in front of Corey Schneider that he was able to see all the pucks they were firing from the outside. And they just weren't doing quite enough. It looked like they weren't quite as interested in, you know, putting the extra effort into that game that they probably should have. And I think maybe hopefully something started in Arizona last night in terms of the way they got. I mean, it was, you know, they should have been able to go out and dominate that game a little better than they did. And it's something we've been seeing a lot where they have – it's both on the power play. It's sort of the opposite situation. But, like, on the power play, they have these times where they're able to sustain consistent pressure. But they can't score a freaking goal. And yet when they're on 5-on-5, they go through these long spurts of the game where they – have no offensive pressure, where they try to carry the puck up and they turn it over, then they get it back in the defensive zone and they try to carry it up and they turn it over again or make a bad pass, or they have a couple of passes and then the other team takes over. Like, they have zero offense going forward. And it's sort of these things that, you know, I don't know if it's something that can be attributed to the system and they're not quite comfortable yet, or just, you know, is the other team pushing back harder? And I don't think that's necessarily the issue. I think some of it's the players and they need to – it's a lack of effort to some extent. Not a complete lack of effort. It's not the couple of years ago with the Boudreaux thing where the guys are just going through the motions at that point. But I think to some extent they're not quite there yet. We're still seeing passes that are, you know, too far in front or behind guys. And hopefully we're seeing less of it. So hopefully as that continues to go away, the team's going to start playing better and start getting some more wins.
Yeah, that's what I hope. And you brought up, you know, a lack of offense going into these last couple games.
Over 3 games they've scored 3 goals. Do I have that right?
4. It was 4 goals.
Which one?
You're right. I'm sorry. 3.
They went 1 against St. Louis, 2 against Phoenix, and 0 against Jersey.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, 3. I can count. I went to college.
1 goal per game. That is terrible. That's not bad if you're a player. That's bad if you're a team.
And it was what? It was Joel Ward got the 1 goal on Saturday. And then up against the Coyotes, it was Jay Beagle and Eric Fair with the winner. So what is going on with the offense right now? Because it seems as if like that top line should be doing more, given the fact that Tom Wilson's back in the lineup. just if you're looking at just like MVPs of the team, Tom Wilson's got to be on your list close to the top because the guy is skating his heart out. He's hitting people as hard as he can. He's a monster of a dude. He's hitting people when his helmet falls off. He doesn't stop the play. But Ovechkin and Backstrom, are they just not gelling well with him, or is he not gelling well with those two guys on the top line? Because it seems as if Backstrom and Ovi should be getting more stuff done.
I'd like to see it. I mean, right now they're leading the team in points. They both have 16 points. Ovechkin's got 8-8 in terms of his goals and assists. Backstrom's got 4 goals and 12 assists. But both are in the minus column. I mean, I was having this argument with my brother when we went to the game against the Hurricanes that I think the plus minus is a stupid statistic that they're having. But, you know, it's sort of a problem that both of them have. And, you know, it seems like they're scoring, that they're leading team in points, but it's also a situation where I feel like every game I'm not really seeing that many goals, and they sort of get their points in bunches, and then they go through spurts, so they're not getting a lot of points. I mean, what was it? Ovechkin went through 5 games where he hadn't scored a goal?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, you know, so I think it's definitely a problem, but it looks like Wilson's coming on strong, and he's playing really well. He's hitting everybody that's not wearing a Caps jersey. So I think as soon as they start to gel with him and Backstrom and Ovechkin, of course, are always gelling. But I think it's going to be better. Wilson's looking like – he doesn't look like a guy who's playing, you know, 6 minutes a night last season on the fourth line. He looks like a guy who should be there on the first line, that he's earned that spot. He's playing well with the puck. I mean, given they were playing Phoenix and not having – damn it, Arizona. Change your freaking name. That they're playing Arizona, and, you know, it's not the toughest team out there right now, but they should have been able to do better. It shouldn't have been an overtime game. And, you know, if you start doing that against teams in the East, and you're going to be losing spots in the standings. In fact, to Wilson, Ovechkin, Backstrom, I mean, I think, they need a little bit more time together. And if they don't start gelling in the next couple of weeks, then we have a problem.
Yeah, and we might see those.
But I don't think it's a lack of effort, though. That's the thing. Like, maybe, I don't think it's a style. It's just, honestly, I think they are going to start gelling well. I'd like to see Wilson go to the net a little more and stop necessarily punching everybody.
He's got to do more than just hit people. He's got to.
Well, the thing is, he's got to stay on the ice. I mean, I've said on the show. I don't think I've said it this season, but last season, I think I said on the show a bunch of times that I would prefer my fighter. Well, I would prefer my fighters to be forwards, but I'd rather they not be on the top line.
Yeah, because you want that top line to be guys who are getting the goals. You want them to be the guys that are scoring, and that's how you win a hockey game. Yeah, it's great defense.
I mean, every once in a while, it's okay, just because, you know, if someone's going to go take a run at Backstrom.
Yeah, it's good to have him out there, because Backstrom and Ovechkin are your money. Those are the guys that you got all your money invested in, so you want somebody out there protecting that. But what about everybody else on the offense? We've seen Burakovsky. He's kind of cooled down. He's still got the Jets.
But I dropped him from my fantasy team. I had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he really hasn't been doing anything. Johansson's looked great. Joel Ward and Jason Chimere working well together. I was impressed with Jay Beagle on that line up against the Coyotes. The Jay Beagle's goal, it came off of a Chimere pass, which was just a beautiful pass right to Beagle, who gets it in the back of the net. I think that's working well together. Our Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, we saw O'Brien hurt. We have Liam O'Brien. Liam O'Brien's hurt. We have Michael Lotta, who is sitting out because Chris Brown's up. What is it with these other guys that isn't working?
I can't remember who said it last night. I think it was Lachman, but he said that – I thought like I heard him say that they put Brown in with Kuznetsov because they want to give Kuznetsov more offensive guys. I'd say Brown is more offensive than Lotta or O'Brien. Well, O'Brien's not playing because he's hurt. But – I do like the fact that it seems like Trotz is trying to get Kuznetsov better offensive opportunities and playing with guys that are more defensive-minded in Beagle, Lotta, and O'Brien. But I think the third line's kind of producing. I mean, right now Ward is, what, he's 6th on the team in points. He's got 8 goals and 2 assists. So he's got 10 points, and then Brower's also got 10 points. And then, you know, Chimera's only got 3 points. So right now it's Chimera's the guy that's not producing. He's doing pretty well defensively, but offensively he's not producing at all. Fair's picking up, you know, he's only got 5 points in 15 games, so it's not great, but you like to see a little bit more, but it seems like he's got the opportunity. I didn't realize he only had 3 goals. I felt like I've heard his name said more, you know, the 3 times.
He was sitting out for a few games.
That's true. Well, he's played 15 games. He's only missed 3.
Yeah.
So he should have, I mean, I'd like to see that he has more goals, and especially since he started the season on the first line, that you'd like to see if he has a couple more goals or more assists. He only got 2 assists, but that's kind of weird. How does Ward have 10 points while his line mates have 8 combined? Is Ward only getting the puck from the defenseman? I'm confused. No, I mean, they've been moving a lot of guys around and stuff like that, and Ward had 2 of his goals were in the same... No, he didn't have a hat trick. He had 2 goals in the same game. So I think some of it is the lines got to gel a little bit more. I think part of it could be the system. I mean, we saw how well the guys worked together last year with Chimera and Ward, but that was Oates' system, and maybe under Trotz, it's a different responsibilities. But, you know, I like to see it settle down a little bit more. But the offense in general, I think, is just sort of – it's going through a slow spell right now, and hopefully they start to pick it up pretty soon.
Yeah, I hope so, because we got a lot of young guys out there who've definitely got the speed. You got big bruisers like Wilson. You got skilled guys like Ovechkin, Backstrom, Ward. I mean, all the tools are there. Like, you, this team does not lack in
– Did you just call them all tools?
little bit, yeah. This team's got the right offensive tools to use, but I don't know if they just got to figure out the right rhythm. I don't know. But let's switch over to defense. The defense has been okay, but again, it hasn't been great. It hasn't really been given a lot of support to the goalies. The big spotlight, of course, for the entire season has been on Brooks Orpik, who I feel is. If he's doing okay, but I don't know if him and Carlson working together is the best fit.
I'm not disappointed in the defense. I feel like last season all the time we were going, what is wrong with the defense?
Oh yeah,
you know, this season I feel like it's not as big of a problem,
and that's why Orpik and Niskanen were brought in. They were brought in to fix the defense, they've improved the defense definitely. But I still don't feel as if it's like, you know, number one in the league or something.
Well, I don't think a team. I mean, you don't have to be number one in the league still to win. I think you have to be good. And I definitely think they're better than last season. If you go and you look at a lot of the games over the past couple of weeks, I mean, they've had a couple of games. Well, aside from the first game against Arizona, which was just in early November, which was just a cluster F of a mess. You know, a lot of these games are not necessarily getting blown out. I mean, there was a St. Louis game where they got four scored on them. But other than that, they're keeping everybody at least three goals, not including the overtime one to Calgary. But that was also a mess. But I mean, they've had opportunities, and they've had opportunities. The defense is playing, I think, well enough. I'm not real concerned with the defense right now. I think Schmidt has been playing well. I always get those two confused. When they first like signed both guys, I would be like, wait, which one's which? Because their names are very similar. But Schmidt has been playing well. I didn't expect that at all at the beginning of the season. I really thought he was just a holdover until Orlov was ready. I also thought Orlov was going to be ready by now, but you know, I guess that didn't happen. But I mean, we were talking, was it last week? Yeah, we were talking about how if Orlov comes back, is he going to bump somebody out of lineup? And I'm not sure right now. I mean, you're going to see Orlov go down to Hershey at first so that he can get a couple of games under his belt and get back into that playing shape. But I would find it difficult right now to take Schmidt out of the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Schmidt's been one of the shining stars on the defense. I want to see more from John Carlson.
I want to see more offensively from him. I felt like he took a shot last night that it felt like it wasn't that. I mean, he may not have been trying to score. He may be looking for a redirect, or there's sort of one of those things where it looks like it's a shot but it's sent behind the net, or you're sort of doing a slap shot pass to a guy.
Right.
But Carlson, I feel like defensively has been okay. Offensively, I feel like he's not putting as much onto it, and maybe that's because he's focusing more on his defensive responsibilities. I think Orpik has been for the most part very good for them. He's hitting everybody that needs to get hit. He's definitely playing well. I think Niskanen, I would like to see a little more offense from him, but I think he's been relatively solid. He's had a few errors here and there. Alzner, we don't really talk about, but that's a good thing because he's a defensive-minded defenseman. So if we're talking about it, it's because he got beat by somebody. And then Green has been good. I mean, they haven't really asked too much of Green. I think he's done well on the power play. The power play I just don't understand right now, because how they have the puck in the other team's zone for like a minute and a half and can't score a goal is just baffles me to no extent. I just don't understand it at all. But defensively, I'm not real concerned with the defense right now. I think they could play a little bit better, but that's not the reason that this team is not playing, that this team is not going on any win streaks, really. I think there's definitely other reasons besides that.
Yeah, so it's weird with Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen brought in. I definitely feel as if they have improved the defense, but I don't know if it's just because of who they are, but it seems like they're very quiet. Like, you don't really hear a lot of them in press conferences or rinkside updates or whatever. It's always like you just see them on the ice and that's it. Where a lot of the other Capitals, it seems as if they like doing the interviews and they like the spotlight. So it might just be.
Well, Niskanen's always out there.
Yeah.
I think Orpik and Niskanen, they're always talking to. Niskanen will always talk no matter if they've won or lost, which I think is a good thing because you got to have somebody out there. And I mean, I never really liked the whole interview after a game thing, just because your emotions are either because of a win or, I mean, maybe not in the middle of the season, but a win, your emotions are always higher than normal. And after a loss, your emotions are always, you know, lower than normal, that kind of a thing. You're never really thinking straight or thinking clearly. You're always sort of getting a rush one way or the other in terms of the result of the game. And so to go to a guy after the game, I mean, I hate it in the NFL too, where they go on and ask a coach or a player, how do you feel about this? Well, if you lost, he's probably pissed right now. Whether it was good or bad, how do you feel about this game? Well, he's got blown out. You know, what do you think he's going to say? Well, I feel good. Not likely. You know, so those things always bother me. But when you see the guys come out and they're talking, it seems like right now everybody's saying the right thing. Nobody's saying anything they shouldn't be saying. You know, you hear players on radio or whatever it is, and everybody seems to be pretty settled in with what they're doing, and no one's really upset. We're not hearing those rumblings and grumblings like we were hearing last season with Oates. And so,
yeah.
I think right now it's just a matter of them finding that offense and getting it clicking, because they have the opportunities. And the errors that we were seeing at the beginning of the season are slowly starting to go away. And I think once they start clicking, they're going to be doing a lot better.
Yeah, and they just need to put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, that Johansson said it before. Like,
what's told me it was that easy, apparently.
Yeah, what's the difference between this season and last season? Well, I wasn't getting the puck in the back of the net last season. This season I am. So
that's got to be my favorite quote of the season so far. He's just such a... I don't know. He just seems like he's just like a mild-mannered guy, and apparently he's a bit of a smart, you know it. Yeah. So I just thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I love I think it was either Justin Schlegel or John Muma, and they were talking about UFC fighters that after they get interviewed after a fight, and they're like, so this guy was continually punching you in the face. What were you thinking at that moment? Well, I was thinking at that moment, I got to get this guy to stop hitting me in the face. So it's like that's kind of the press conferences that you get after games. But
the guys are always sort of relaxed and ready to answer the question.
So, yeah, the next couple games, I'm hoping to see this offense clicking a little bit more. I want to see the top line producing more. I want to see everybody working a little bit harder, because you got guys like Johansson and you got guys like Wilson that are really, really putting everything out there. And hopefully everything will start gelling. And I want them to be able to beat a team that you could see in the postseason. I don't want them to just beat a team that, you know, isn't going to make the playoffs.
I'll take a win over a solid win over one of those teams right now. You know, because at this point, I'd take a win in general, to be honest. But at this point, I mean, you go and you see that they sort of beat up on a team like Carolina, and then they let them back in the game.
Yeah.
You know, you go and you have these games where you should be beating up on Phoenix, and you have the opportunities, and you're not doing it. I want to see a solid 60 minutes where they take a team that's not very good and just whoop them. And they have some chances coming up, because you're going to be going up against a Buffalo team that's not very good this season, and Toronto, who just got their you-know-whats handed to them last night by Nashville. Mm-hmm. So where Philip Forsberg is doing very well. Thanks, George. So, you know, they have opportunities to sort of not tinker with the offense, but opportunities to sort of build upon what they've done so far and to do much better. And so that's what you want to see going forward. But, you know, if you're going to go and play these teams you're going to see in the playoffs, you got to be able to beat the teams that aren't going to make it there first.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. So anything else we should cover in Caps world, or do you think we got everything?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the power play just baffles my mind. And it's interesting, like, you go out and watch games and you see how the other teams move around a lot on the power play, and the Caps really don't, but they still, for the most part, can sustain consistent pressure. They just can't score a freaking goal. And it was fun. I can't remember if it was on the power play or just in general last night, where I think they consistently putting shots on net, and somehow Brower was in front and he got knocked down. And you can see he, like, kind of wanted to get up and scream, but he was also, like, terrified to get up because his head was going to be right at, like, puck level while on the way getting out. And he was just kind of laying there hoping to not get hit in the face.
Yeah.
Which is bad, but it's still kind of funny, because you're kind of laughing like, ha, don't get hurt, please. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the power play just confuses me. I'd like to see a little bit better. I don't know if you have to move the guys around. I think Ovechkin is at his best spot on the half wall.
Yeah.
I think to some extent, oh, shoot, which player was it where they always pass? First of all, no one passes the puck to Ovechkin's stick. Have you ever noticed that? Everything is to his foot.
Oh, or yeah. Just,
like, move the stick forward or backwards. Where they have the opportunity for a one-timer, and it's not going where it needs to be. If you hit him tape to tape, a pass, it's going on net number one, and odds are it's going to go into the net, okay? But the fact that he has to take a second or even half a second to adjust to be able to make the play gives the goalie and gives the defense a chance to scoot over and get in the way. And there's one player, it might even be Ovechkin, whoever he is, every time they pass in the puck, it, like, he fumbles it for a second, and it kills that opportunity you have with the goalie coming across the crease. You have that net open for just a moment. So the power play they got to work on in terms of their passing, in terms of being able to get the goals, because right now they're able to sustain pressure, which is great. I mean, at one point they had the same penalty killers Arizona did for, I think, the entire 2 minutes, but the Caps didn't score. And that's almost unheard of. The guys are exhausted. The defensive guys are exhausted at that point, and yet they still could not score a goal. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was very disappointing. And the thing is, like, the guys that are out there, at least for, you know, there's a couple missed passes, but for the most part, everything looks like they're setting up everything perfectly, and then once they finally get that shot, it just goes nowhere. And hopefully they can figure out, you know, how to finish that, because that's going to be very keen, because being able to get that opportunity to be on a power play, that's when you can get, you know, you can make that score stretch a little bit higher up than you normally would, because 5-on-5, it isn't really working for the Capitals this season that much. So you get those 4-on-5 opportunities or 4-on-3 or whatever, that's the time where you can really make it, you know, a 2-point lead or a 3-point lead. That's where you make your money.
Well, that's, I mean, they got to go for the throat, you know, go for the kill. And so often they just let teams hang around. I mean, we saw that in the Carolina game. We saw that in Phoenix. Are they playing in Phoenix? Because technically I didn't get it wrong then. we just seen it so many times where they just let teams hang around. They don't have that killer instinct yet, and they got to find it, or they're not going to be able to go. If they make the playoffs, they're not going very far. You got to find that killer instinct where you find a team that's hurting, and you just take them out.
Yeah, that's what they got to do. They got to take him out like a mob boss or something, man.
I'm fine with that. It's a little violent, but I'm fine with it.
You could go Nancy Kerrigan on him. Take out somebody by the knees.
That's all right, now you've gone too far.
Damn it. All right, well, if that's it for Caps World, we're going to take a quick break. Here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Lamb Chop Dan, what's going on?
That doesn't even make sense.
It's late. I'm tired.
Fair enough. All right. In the past week, Hershey went 1-1 with a win over Wilkes-Barre Scranton and a loss to Syracuse. They're also playing tonight as we speak, that being Wednesday night, against Lehigh Valley. They sit at 8-6-1, good for 17 points, and they're currently second in the East Division, 2 points behind Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Now, down in South Carolina, they went 1-2 with a win over Greenville and 2 losses to Florida. They sit at 4-7-3, good for 11 points, and unfortunately sixth in the East Division, 8 points out of first. Hopefully, South Carolina goes on a little winning streak and then get back closer to first place in their division. That's what's happened during the past week in the minor leagues.
All right. Well, hopefully, I don't know, maybe we'll see some of these Hershey Bear guys come up in the next couple weeks. Who knows what'll happen? Maybe Orlov will come down and somebody else will come up. Who knows? But we'll figure that out later on. But next up, we're going to go around the NHL. But before we do, here's a word from CapsHill.com.
What the Puck is available on CapsHill.com. Check out blogs and funny photos that have appeared on the NHL Network. That's CapsHill.com.
Everybody, here we go. We are going to go around the NHL. It is Wednesday night, rivalry night, as we record this podcast. And the NHL is busy getting ready for their Black Friday game as well. So, Coach Dan, tell us what is going on around the NHL.
Well, no one's getting blown out 9-2 as we speak, but I guess that could change. Sorry, Toronto. We'll start off with some scary news, as Pittsburgh forward Pascal Dupuis has been diagnosed with a blood clot in his lung.
Oof.
He will be out for 6 months while undergoing treatment, so that's pretty scary. I know he's a Penguin, so we're supposed to hate him, but he's still a person, and that, you know, I'm sorry to see this kind of thing is happening to him. So hopefully he gets better within, I guess, the next 6 months and is back to playing hockey as soon as he can. And other not so much scary and sad news, Ottawa general manager Brian Murray was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer.
Jeez.
He has been undergoing 48 hours of chemotherapy every 2 weeks and yet is still on the job. So credit to him for doing that. But we'll see how much longer he is a general manager of Ottawa, and if this diagnosis and his treatment will have to end up causing him to step down. Minnesota sent goalie Josh Harding to their minor league affiliate after placing him on waivers on Monday. I don't expect him to be down there very long. I think once he regains game shape, he'll be back up with the team. As you remember, he got suspended by the team after an off-ice injury during the offseason caused him to miss the first part of the season where he caused an injury. And apparently Minnesota was not very happy with him about that. And finally, Columbus acquired defenseman Jordan Leopold from St. Louis for a fifth-round pick in the 2016 NHL draft. That's the past week in the NHL. Nobody got suspended!
All right, congrats, guys. No one hit anyone else in the head.
Yeah, seriously, what was that, 2 weeks ago? Everybody was headhunting?
Yeah.
Hey, just calm down. I'm surprised no one got suspended from the Toronto game if they got blown out 9-2. Once you're down like 5-6, 7-2, somebody's going out there to get something going on. He's going to punch somebody in the face.
Somebody posted up the score for that Toronto game, and then they had the picture from The Simpsons, and it was like, stop, stop, it's already dead. The kid's just crying from The Simpsons. It was really good. Let's talk about some What the Puck news going on right now, guys. With it being Thanksgiving week next week, we will not have a show. So it will be 2 weeks. We'll be back the first week of December. So let's go over those games since we're going to – it's a little extended time.
Am I doing a one-off next week?
Are you going to do one?
I don't know. I have to decide. And see if I can remember the password to log on to our website thing to do the thing. I might, yeah. I think if I'm going to do one, I would probably do it on Tuesday.
Okay.
I'd upload it Tuesday night because I don't have to go into work until later on Wednesday. So if we do one, I'll put it out on Twitter Tuesday night. I might do a quick update just on what Capitals have been doing and how they've been doing, and a couple of maybe some news and notes from down on the farm, but I probably won't be going around the NHL unless something crazy happens.
All right, well, that's cool, man. If you can do that, that's awesome. If you can't, I'll still just go over what games are coming up you guys can look forward to. So on Thursday, November 20th, the Capitals are in Colorado finishing up their little road trip they got right now. They are playing up against the Colorado Avalanche. That game is at 9 o'clock. That will be on Comcast Sportsnet. Saturday, November 22nd, the Capitals are back home in D.C. up against the Buffalo Sabres. That game's at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet again. On Wednesday, November 26th, Thanksgiving Eve, the Capitals travel up to New York, up against the Islanders, 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Friday, November 28th, the Capitals come back to D.C., facing those same Islanders. That game is at 5 o'clock on a Friday, Black Friday, Comcast Sportsnet.
That's doing my Christmas shopping.
There you go. Getting up early, 5 a.m., and then spending 5 p.m. on the couch.
Doing my Christmas shopping online.
Like a normal person.
Yeah. Stand in line? No, thank you.
Yeah. I can't believe all those places are opening up Thanksgiving night. Like, I hope that bombs so bad because...
This is why I'm glad I work in education.
Well, like, why aren't you putting any... Like, all right. This is a stupid rant that's not hockey related in any way.
That's all right.
Listen to this. Okay, this is my line of thinking. You're putting these ads out there and you're saying lightning deals, blah, 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 and you're pissing people off because they have to come into work. They can't spend time with their families. They can't go and eat turkey dinner. And you got other crazy.
They had turkey dinner.
Well, like if they're coming in, if they're opening up at 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, they can't be at home with their family for dinner unless they're eating at like 3, and then it's even rushed and you're not enjoying yourself. Put out those same ads, but do them online. Like you can still do lightning deals. Like put the deals out for an hour. And everybody click, 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 click. And then there you go. Nobody's working except for IT people. They're not even working. Like if the website goes down, the website goes down and you're still selling stuff. Like I don't understand why.
Was it Monday, the cyber one?
Yeah, that's supposed to be Cyber Monday. Yeah. The deals are not as good as Black Friday because they're putting out, you know, midnight to 6 a.m. and they have, you know, TVs for $200, but they only have 4 in stock or whatever. And then somebody gets tased outside Walmart walking out with one. Like, just put the stuff online. Like, it's 2014. There's no reason to have people come in on a holiday. And this is like the one holiday a year I think everybody in America should have off. Like, it makes no sense to me. It's Thanksgiving. And yes, I understand the shopping season starts and people want those deals. Put those deals online. Let people buy online. Have it shipped. It even helps the postal service, who sucks ass.
He's going after the. Watch out, man. USPS, they control you. Well, do they get time and a half?
I mean, I think they get holiday time, sure. And people volunteer to do it. I don't believe that fully. That people volunteer to work, but whatever.
I mean, I don't really contribute to it because I try to stay inside because it's usually cold and I'm buying all Christmas presents online anyways. So, I mean, it sucks for the guys that are working, for the people that are working in the industry that, you know, if you're going to Best Buy or something and it's tough, but if you get time and a half or you're getting double or whatever it may be, I mean, it's making good money at that point. It's just, you know, it's a little unfortunate, but I'm sure you can find time to be with the family, whether it's that day or not.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I go out on Black Friday, and I go shopping, but it's Black Friday. Like, I don't like this Thanksgiving night crap, because the stores, this is another thing I don't understand this year, the stores are opening up at 6 p.m., and then they're closing at 2 a.m., and then opening back up at 6 a.m. on Black Friday.
Stay open.
Exactly. Like, the stores that I used to go to, like the outlet malls I used to go to, they would open up at midnight, and the sale would be from midnight to 6 a.m., and then they would have another sale, but it wasn't as good as, like, the midnight to 6 a.m. one, 6 to 8 or whatever, and you still could get stuff. I would go at, like, 3 in the morning when all the crazies have already, like, ransacked the place, and yeah. I would be there. The stores would be empty. Everyone would be like, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe what we had before, and it was all good. Like, you know, should have stuck with that. I don't want to go. I want to watch football. I want to eat turkey dinner. I don't want to go out at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving night to fight for the latest Dark Knight Blu-ray. Like, I don't want to do that. And I'm not.
Well,
I'll go out Black Friday.
I'll buy it online.
Yeah. Just do that, man. Just do that. Just listen to me, and I solve all the problems. All right, so that's Black Friday. That game's at 7 o'clock. Back to hockey. Then on Saturday night, November 29th, the Capitals are in Toronto up against the Maple Leafs. That game is at 7 o'clock. That will be on Comcast Sportsnet, the NHL Network, and will be Hockey Night in Canada. That will be airing in Canada as well on CBC. Then on Tuesday, December 2nd, the Capitals will be back home up against the Canucks. Vancouver coming to town, 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. And then if you don't hear from Coach Dan next week, we'll be back December 3rd doing our normal, regularly scheduled programming. So that's what's going on in the next 2 weeks of Caps hockey. So like I said in the beginning of the show, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is the Caps fanword website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads.
Yeah.
That's CapsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Go to BrandoCash.com, get information about this show, all the other shows, photography and video that we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. We also are on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash, and you can check out the podcast on Facebook and Twitter, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, and then on Twitter at WTP_podcast. We do this show completely for free. You guys know that. You see, we're talking about going out buying stuff on Black Friday. You know what you can do for us, though? And it's free, and we'll still say thank you. You don't even have to wrap it. Just tell people about What the Puck and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web, let people know, hey, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. This has been a fun episode. In case I'm not going to be on next week, but hey, everybody out there, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you to everybody out there that listens to the show, that downloads, that streams it, whatever you do. Thank you for tuning into the show. We love doing it. We don't want to go anywhere, and we want to continue doing this show, and we're very thankful that you guys enjoy listening to us just rant on about pop culture and hockey. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. So over the Thanksgiving holiday, over the next week or so, chant together, even though you got a drumstick in your hand, you got turkey, some cranberry sauce, a little bit of everything on there, still be at that Thanksgiving table and just say, let's go Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.